Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. Brad, we are not waving the white flag here podcast. We are treating this stretch of baseball like we are headed for the playoffs. We're going to talk about contracts. We're going to talk about players. We're going to talk about Bob Melvin. I know you have a lineup that you would like to see for 2025. Yeah, so we're going to get 100%. To everything. We're treating this like a playoff race, like a playoff series kind of show, unlike the Giants in the baseball we have been seeing. But they did take 2 out of 3 from the Padres.
They did, which was kind of nice, because anytime you go into San Diego and you're playing poop baseball, I thought, man, they're just going to go in there and sweep us. And I thought, you know what? If they sweep us, that's fine, because then they get closer to the Dodgers and we're helping out. We're doing our part. But hey, we do have breaking news right off the bat.
Oh, what happened?
The City Connect jerseys in the form that they are now will be retired.
Oh,
after this season, there's going to be a new version of City Connect starting next season. But and
I'm wearing the hat. Yeah, they play so well in those jerseys, though.
That's what Bob. I didn't read the whole article yet, but that's what Bob Melvin did kind of allude to, the fact that, you know, the Giants are 30-15. In those jerseys. Matter of fact, tonight's a Tuesday, so they're going to wear them again tonight at home against Milwaukee. Lamont Wade Jr.'s quote, as long as I have a uniform on, doesn't matter.
Way to sell those new jerseys that are coming out next year, the ones with Wade Jr. on the back. That may not be being bought by fans.
May not be there. Who knows?
So here's a quick hot take. I'm okay with it. The jerseys look like softball uniforms to me. But the hook for it was that they did have a good record in those jerseys. I think they could come up with something better, though. They could also come up with something worse, because I've looked at the City Connect jerseys for some of these other teams, and I'm like, I'm kind of okay with the ones that we have.
Yeah.
Like, when you get to the point of, like, I think the Dodgers may have, like, a royal blue jersey with royal blue pants. And I'm like, I don't know if we need more than white or gray pants. When you get to colored pants, I think it's a little bit too much. So I'm very open to what they do. And look, as you just pointed out, I would love to buy a new hat. I have no problem spending my $40 a year getting a new Giants lid. Absolutely not.
And the cool thing is, too, is I think they can go Are they still wearing black jerseys on Saturdays?
Because it was Orange Friday. I don't know about the black.
Yeah, the black might have been retired, but
they may have just made the black for spring training.
Yeah, I think so. But bring the black jerseys back, and black pants. And I know in the middle of summer that sounds like super foolish, but this is middle of summer in San Francisco on Tuesday nights. So I think that if any city can get away with wearing black during the summer, I think it's San Francisco. So all black jerseys, orange accents, something like that for the City Connects would be really cool. Big picture of Alcatraz on the front, right? Because isn't that what they try to do? They try to make it so that it connects with the city. Big Alcatraz.
Yeah, I'm not sure trying to create the artistic interpretation of fog on the next one, though. That I would not.
No, not just. Yeah, I mean, that's that you can go so many. You can. That's just too easy. Just like it's fog. Is it really, though? It looks white. Yeah. Fog is white. All right.
All right. Also, the football season is upon us, and yes. We recorded our first post-game episode of We Want Winners last night. We introduced the new Player of the Game Award, which we posted the graphic on the BSPN underscore media and the BSPN media Instagram, and we have called it the Coach Singh Player of the Game because We Want Winners, the title of our podcast, comes directly from a Mike Singletary outburst in the locker room. So we're giving it to Coach Singh. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. Obviously, the Niners played really well, beat the Jets. Anytime you beat Aaron Rodgers, I'm happy. Even if it's the Tennessee Titans beating Aaron Rodgers, I'm happy. But quickly, because you are a Rams fan, and I watched the Sunday night game, and you guys lost your one of your wide receivers, so weren't at full health. I know the offensive line was a bit of a turnstile as well when it comes to health. I liked the way that the team looked even in the loss. And, you know, if Matt Stafford doesn't throw the interception in the end zone at the end of the first half, that might have been a whole different ball game.
Well, that and then the holding call as the Rook was going in for his first receiving touchdown. I mean, there were, you know, a lot of errors first game of the season. And then obviously you go into overtime. Majority of these guys on both sides did not play in preseason.
They were tired.
They were gassed. And not to be mean to Goff, but my thing all week has been, hey, you know, the Lions head coach did what he had to do, and it was brilliant play calling by basically saying, hey, look, they ran what, 11 plays in overtime, and 10 of them were Goff handoffs. That's how you kind of win a ball game, because the thing was, Goff threw an interception, almost threw a second interception, was starting to have some issues late in the game. Rams coverage was starting to kind of throw him off. So I think, they did the right thing by just taking the ball out of his hands and giving it to the running back. And again, just pushed that defensive line. The Rams defensive line was gassed. And the Lions offensive line, one of the best in football. So, hey, to go into Detroit first game of the season, measuring sticks, see where you're at. I liked what I saw. We go into Arizona next week, which is always fun. McVay kind of owns the Cardinals. Doesn't matter who's coaching. So that'll be an interesting game. And the Cardinals look pretty decent against who did they play? The Patriots this weekend? No, they play the Giants.
Bills, I think.
Oh, the Bills. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they played. I had the Red Zone channel on, so I honestly, there was so much going on.
Yeah, but that's why I had to think about it for a second, too.
Yeah. But yeah, so, and then they come home for the Niners. So in two and a half weeks, Rams Niners play first game of the season. I'm not expecting too much from the Rams again.
It's going to be unfortunate, especially if Puka's going to be out.
Right. He's going to be out for 4 weeks, possibly six. So we'll see.
Niners may have McCaffrey out. We'll see. That's a whole other drama story that Rod and I talked about last night. But, you know, because our teams are probably projected to be fairly decent this year. I actually like having a little Rams chat with you because everyone gets to hear me talk about the Niners on We Want Winners. And, you know, I like to talk about the teams that the Niners are going to face. So from, you know, we may hear a little bit of Rams chat through Thompson to Clark this year.
Sure.
All right, let's finish the baseball conversation here. When we last recorded, we got off the air, and then it was like 10:30 at night or something like that.
Yeah, I was already asleep.
And all the Giants Twitter handles were reporting that Matt Chapman had signed his extension. And so what I'm trying to do on the website, bspnmedia.com, is I'm trying to push more written content on the website, you know, Google search engine, all that stuff. And the reason is because I think we're going to attempt to put some ads on the website to see if we can monetize it a little bit. And it's a small play. We are, it's just me and the podcaster. So there's not a lot of people working on this website, but you know, from time to time, I want to start pushing out more written content. So I immediately was like, oh, I'll just write a little, you know, write a few words here and there about Matt Chapman. And so I just opened up our website and I'm going to read from what I wrote because all the facts are in this post. So the Giants signed Matt Chapman to a 6-year extension for $151 million. That is $25 million per year for the rest of the contract. During the last year of the deal, he'll be 37, and then he'll get a $1 million signing bonus next year. He had the two player options for 25 and 26, and then there was a mutual option for 27. So that erases those options, and now they have another player next to Jung-Hoo Lee, who is an everyday player who is signed to a long-term deal. Just your immediate reaction when you heard 6 for $151. Is that too much, too little, right on the money? What were your thoughts?
I mean, it's right on your money. I mean, you even said it, 4 for $100, right? A couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, really, it's kind of right, you know, right on the money. I don't have a problem with it because you've got to build the organization, not necessarily from the inside out, but you got to have the youth, right? And the Giants are kind of blossoming this year with the youth. You got to add the veterans. If you get rid of Chapman, let him walk, you've got to go out and find another veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But it fits perfectly to have a guy who is familiar with the Bay Area, familiar with Bob Melvin, a great player. I mean, he's a fantastic player, high war player in terms of offense and defense, great clubhouse guy, intangibles, you know, up the wazoo. This is the guy you want to be around your rookies in your youth. Sometimes you pay a little extra for that. Sometimes you pay a little extra for Boris clients. It's just how it works. Mm-hmm. I watched the Boris interview that he did afterwards with Pavs. And, you know, Pavs was kind of like, hey, this is rare. You don't usually do this. We don't usually see you, go out and, get a guy signed before he hits the free agency market. And he said, well, that's kind of a misconception. I've done it before. But he also talked about the intangibles too. And the money that you're spending on Chapman gets you that veteran, gets you that guy who is going to help with all of this youth. And he's going to be around for quite a few years, which is awesome. So you've got Webb, you've got Jung-Hoo Lee, and you've got Chapman. Those are your three guys who aren't the youth, who are under contract, who aren't under control, so to speak. That's your core to grow around in the coming seasons. I don't have a problem paying that money for it.
All right. I'm so happy that this human being is watching with us live because Heruku keeps us honest with our takes.
Yes.
And Heruku has been in the chat a lot of the season talking about how if the Giants pay Matt Chapman a lot of money, they're essentially paying a lot of money for a batter who is not a middle of the order batter on a really good team. So I'll share Haruku's original comment to us. Said Chapman, the highest paid hitter on a bad organization. So in order for this to work out, you need to pay at least two hitters more. Now, Haruku also kind of contradicted his own point, and not to mean that he didn't realize it, but he basically said Ramos as a rookie is a better hitter. And I think that is a bonus point, because maybe you don't have to worry so much about Chapman, his low batting average, right, if there are younger and cheaper players who are hitting better. So in order for this Chapman deal maybe to work out to the best for the Giants, you do need a Eliot Ramos to continue to play well on a very low salary. You do need a Tyler Fitzgerald to be able to swing the bat on a very low salary. They're probably going to bring in another big dollar infielder if you believe in the Willy Adames rumors or a player like that. You bring in Willy Adames, he's going to make more money than you just paid Matt Chapman, more than likely. But that is to signify to free agents like, hey, those are two right-handed bats that are not afraid of this park, and we're going to bring them in, and they play really good defense, and they're good team players. Like, we are trying to build something. But how that can work, going back to what Haruku was saying, the younger players do have to perform. And so if the Giants believe that they're making that adjustment and finally they're going to reap some benefits from these younger hitters, we know Bryce Eldridge is the sexy one, even though he's not eligible to drink yet by law, then you do need those players. So Ramos, if Ramos has I guess he's too old to necessarily have a sophomore jinx, but if he comes back next year and he has a really bad year, that bodes not as well for what you just paid Matt Chapman, because you're doing so with the idea that you have players who might be able to pick up the slack for Chapman's bat in some scenarios. Tyler Fitzgerald, we also mentioned. And then, this big wild card here is Marco Luciano. I still don't know what we have in him. I can't get a good gauge on who he is, because he keeps getting yanked in and out of the lineup. And I would just plant the guy at DH and just not take him out of the lineup. If it's if you're down 2-1 in the ninth and they bring in the hard throwing righty, how about we just let him hit? Let's see. Let's allow him to have that experience. If we expect him to be that guy in a couple of years, to be the one that we want in that, in that at bat, like, how about we just let him fail? Is my suggestion, because they're still only two games under 500, but the teams who are above them are playing really good baseball right now. So they're not playing games necessarily to, win on the fringes and win by hook or by crook. No, this is the opportunity for us to get data on these guys. Let's get some information. Let's get some critical at bats and let's see how they do. I understand Matos in some instances may have overstayed his welcome a little bit, but I would allow him to fail as well and just let these guys play out. I don't need to see another Michael Conforto at bat for the rest of my San Francisco Giants fandom. And that is nothing against Conforto, right?
Right.
But what does that gain us for next year? If Conforto hits four jacks, in next week, how does that help us in 2025? That's kind of
it only helps him. It helps him in the free agency market. And I don't know. I don't know if Farhan and Bob Melvin are of the school of, hey, this guy, he's a veteran. He's put in the years. We owe it to him.
Yeah.
Since he's performing again, to get him to the free agent market and let him get the most he can get. Two spoilers in my lineup. Number one, Marco Luciano is not in it.
He's not in your wishful thinking lineup.
He's not in my wishful thinking lineup. And number two, Haruku said, Chapman is a number six hitter at best, and in my lineup, he's a number six hitter.
Yep, so I agree. I agree with Haruku in that.
Yeah. Oh, scenario. Absolutely.
I completely agree. He's not a 3, 4, or 5. He just doesn't hit for high enough average.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm all for, again, the rest of the season. Hey, let's get as many young guy ABs as we can get. Because in my wishful 2025 lineup, I do have, I mean, I think probably half of it are the young guys. And the other half are some nice free agent additions, and then Jung-Hoo Lee coming back. So it's a fun lineup. If for some reason we can come up with this lineup, I think we're going to have a bang up season. I think it's going to be a very competitive ball club if we can pull off this lineup. And again, this is not, I didn't go overboard in my wishful thinking of it. I didn't say no salary cap, no, you know, fake salary cap. And I tried to keep in mind, like, okay, we'll be around here. And this is what the Giants could do if they had the best offseason. But again, you got to add pitching too. I didn't factor that in so much. But
I'll end the Matt Chapman thing with just thoughts on the contract. They probably added an extra year or two without the team option, like they like to do, as a bonus for him signing early, is my guess. Because if he goes out on the market again, and if those discussions aren't fantastic, he could maybe get a 4-year deal instead of the 6-year one. But I'm sure the Giants were like, hey, we're willing to work with you. You know, we need to sign somebody. We need to actually get one for us.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, yeah. And so, you know, that's negotiation. That's leverage. And I have enjoyed the Matt Chapman experience. Does he strike out way too much? Of course he does.
Yeah.
If he didn't strike out way too much, he'd be damn near the most perfect baseball player that we've seen, you know, since Buster Posey. But that is part of it. It is part of the experience. He makes up for it to me with the glove and how just it's just fantastic to watch him play defense. And, you know, I grew up a middle infielder, so I love watching infielders myself. All right, let's talk a little bit about something else we had talked about last week, which is the idea that should the Giants shut Kyle Harrison down? And I think we went with the idea of it might make some sense to lessen the load, but then you said that, hey, if he feels comfortable and healthy and like he wants to push through, give him the opportunity. And I saw a Melvin quote, and we'll talk about Melvin a little bit more in a couple minutes. Melvin basically said he was pushing through until it was probably not smart to, and that's when they shut him down. So the Kyle Harrison experience, I would say, was an up and down experience. We love young players. We love watching them come through the organization. He was the best Giants pitching prospect in quite some time, probably since Bumgarner, if I'm thinking about that correctly. And he had an average season. There was some really great stuff, and then near the end, it was some really ugly stuff. And you would just hope that he can build upon it for next year. We get a little bit of that velocity back at the beginning of the season, and then we sort of learn how to extend that for the conditioning that he may need to do to build up that strength so that he's throwing 94, 95 in August and September and not 91, 92. What was your thoughts on what are your thoughts on the overall Kyle Harrison experience?
Well, you had asked me what I wanted to see from him the rest of the season last week, and I said I wanted to see more strikeouts, him to use the slider a little bit better, a little bit more control. Well, we're not going to see any of that, which is fine because, that was the other option, was to shut him down for the rest of the season, which I think is great. Again, fighting for a spot, and you're going to see him probably get stretched out and maybe pitch every sixth or seventh day. So, it's pretty much what they had to do. I'm kind of curious. I mean, I know Bob Melvin has said, too, that it's going to go a long way for Harrison and Birdsong to get those innings, get that extra work this year, and kind of build up. I see that, but I think more than anything, it's off-season workout program. And Logan Webb has always done such a fantastic job with his, and he could pitch, you know, lights out as many innings as he wants. He can go every third day if he needs to. So, you know, whatever they have to do, whatever Logan Webb off-season program they need to dip into, then that's what I'd like to see. But yeah, I mean, looking at the pitching staff next year with Kyle Harrison in there and Birdsong in there, and I'm throwing him in there because we're talking about Kyle Harrison being shut down. Birdsong is probably going to get shut down here very, very soon, I would imagine, too. You're looking at Webb, Ray possibly opting in. So you've got Webb, Ray, Birdsong, Harrison, and Hicks. And I think we talked about that, you know, last week, that that's 3/5 of your starting rotation possibly next year that are still working on getting the innings, still working on going deep into seasons. So you're going to have to go out and sign more pitchers. I would love to see Blake Snell come back, but I'd like to see the money, I think, go somewhere else. Maybe two or three other starting pitchers. Again, Farhan likes the projects, and you kind of have to, because you can't really sign and have seven starting pitchers that are all healthy and ready to go. That's the whole issue with having six, seven, eight starters. You're not going to have guys just riding the bench and waiting to, you know, come in. So those six, seven, and eight guys are usually guys who are working on rehab, who are working on, you know, maybe they missed all of last season and they're trying to build their innings up. So they start in minor league contract, bring them up. So I think we can ride with the five starters we have right now. And I think Kyle Harrison being shut down right now is going to help that situation into next season and later into next season. So yeah, it's a good decision. It's one that kind of had to be made. You're two games under 500. I don't even know how many games out of the wild card spot anymore, because I stopped looking. Didn't wave the white flag, but stopped looking because I didn't want to get my hopes down instead of up, as we've tried to get them up most of the season. But yeah, you can't pitch him now if he's tired. It's the only decision.
All right, let's talk some about Bob Melvin. He did an interview with Andy Baggerly from The Athletic, and Bob Melvin is a very respectable person. He is a person of accountability. He understands that he is the boss and that he should take a lot of the blame. Probably not the most fun guy at the party. He probably is a very sort of even keel human. That's kind of what I got out of the interview. But he was very down on his performance as a manager, and it made me wonder how you would grade him, because if the expectation for the Giants was wild card or bust, they busted. And how much of that is to blame on Bob Melvin? And if you look at it from that perspective, I would probably grade him a little lower than I would have if I looked at kind of just, you know, the realistic look at the season. Because we how much of this is the Farhan blame of trying to stay close in the first half and relying on the second half for guys to come back from injury and really making a run, so much so that you were talking about having the best starting rotation in baseball, and then you trade one of those guys almost immediately. I look at what maybe some of the things that Bob could control and some of the decisions he made, and he's probably like a C+ or a C, though I think a lot of Giants fans think he's like a D or an F in that case, because they really did have high expectations. I just don't know that this way, the analytic way that he keeps talking about in these interviews, it sounds like it got him to second guess himself a lot of the time in some of these decisions that were influenced a lot by the numbers. And so because of that, you know, he is the guy making the decision at the end of the day. I don't know that I could go D or F, but I do think there were opportunities for him to build on some things, and they just didn't do that. One of those things, stolen bases. How do they have a deficiency of like 70 stolen bases, counting a net deficiency, counting their stolen bases versus the other team's stolen bases against them? Like, that is just unfortunate. Staying with Camilo for as long as he did, when it was pretty clear that people were frustrated with Camilo. A lot of the lineup adjustments that they made, which are not only him, again, there's some of this is the, just their playbook as far as analytics are concerned. I would have liked to see more of a Bob Melvin stamp on this team rather than this kind of half Melvin, half Farhan thing. But again, when you work for Farhan, you are working with the idea that there is a specific way to do things. I hope next year we see a little less wishy-washiness with Melvin and a full-on Bob Melvin hum baby season, whether they win or lose. But I think he really needs to be himself, and the team has to have a little bit more of his identity.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, you're right. I was going to say, too, the main takeaway from that interview was that he said straight up, I need to show more faith in my guys in situations versus pinch hitting based on numbers. And he said it took him a couple months to learn the guys and kind of figure out, hey, Conforto, left-handed hitter, can hit lefties. And I looked it up, too. I mean, Conforto's got a 931 OPS against lefties this year, which is a shock. Against righties, it's like six something. Crazy.
Let's reverse them. Let's only hit them against lefties. Sit them against the righties.
Exactly. But yeah, right. Yeah, because you got Yaz and you got Conforto. So there you go. Now you get less of Yaz, less of Conforto going forward. So to see him say something like that too, I was like, oh wow, man, he is really kind of digging into himself a little bit. Mm-hmm. But like you said too, I mean, and I have said it all season long, I would like to see an 86, 87 Cardinals-esque type of team, because that's what the Giants could put together. You got your Jack Clark hitters who can hit bombs. You got your Tommy Herz who can hit bombs and steal bases. And then the rest of the guys just played massive defense and stole bases. That's what they did, and they got on base. To go back to that kind of baseball would be fantastic. What else did he say in there? He said he did feel a little tied to the analytics decisions and got away from his gut. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing too, that, kind of backs up what you were saying, that, I mean, it's kind of frustrating to watch, but you also have to give him a little bit of grace. Now I'm an easy grader, man. I'm super, hippie, easy grader. I'm giving him a B+, man. I mean,
So you you think he's done a good job?
I think he did. I think he has done a good job. His bullpen, bullpen moves could use a little bit of work. And he mentioned that in the interview too. He did say that, when bullpens blow the games, that's on him. Every decision he makes, and he said that hurts him the most is when a bullpen loses a lead. He said that's his worst feeling. But I give him a B+ because he got Snell late. Snell had to work his way in, right? Big piece of the starting rotation. Then Snell gets hurt. Then Jung-Hoo Lee gets hurt. And then he's having to work with the young kids. The young kids coming up and playing the way they did, that has to have something to do with Bob Melvin and his coaching staff and his hitting staff. Just the welcoming nature of, hey, you're in the bigs now. We're going to take care of you. We're going to get you at your at-bats. You can fail, but we're going to help you grow. So that's where I give him a B+, because if you look at Tyler Fitzgerald, if you look at Elliot Ramos, if you look at Grant McRae, Harrison Birdsong had their struggles, but they're learning. So that's why I give him a B+. I liked his quote towards the end of the interview though, where he did say that, this is why coaches get into this, is so that they can see the fruits of their labor. And mm-hmm. he's talking about the young guys when the young guys come up. I'm B+. That's generous, right?
It's pretty generous, I would say.
It's pretty generous. But I'm a good guy. I like, and he's going to be here next year. We'll talk about that contract in a second, but he'll be here next year for sure. We don't know about after that. So that's why I'm giving him a B+. And I say, hey, man, you get a little boost.
Well, that is good that you brought that up, because I think it was reported today that he and Farhan have guaranteed contracts through next year rather than 2026, like we may have thought. So 2-year deal versus 3-year deal is actually kind of interesting. And I wonder what the strategy was for doing it that way. I think they have contracts. They're just not guaranteed contracts, which kind of makes them not contracts. So it's kind of interesting language that you use.
Farhan's never been up front, and the whole organization has not been up front lately about personnel contracts.
Yeah. So
player contracts, you have to be, but personnel contracts, lately it's been kind of like, we don't really know exactly what's going on.
So does this make it more likely
that these guys are lame ducks and the Giants are really going to look into revamping the whole thing, because the way that organizations work today is the baseball ops guy kind of sets the table on what the strategy is with the team. And then he usually brings in a, and I think I can say he, cause there are no women in these roles. Didn't the Marlins hire, what was her name? Kim Ng.
Yes.
But she's no longer in the organization. I think she's elsewhere doing other stuff now.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where she's at. Yeah, she's
out of baseball. Okay, she was a GM. Right. So she wasn't the baseball ops person. But so, you know, if you are going to redo the entire thing, you are starting from the top, and then you're probably bringing in a manager who matches with the baseball ops guy's ideals. And so it kind of makes this year feel like a lame duck. Like, at what point does the Giants ownership group go, okay, we need to figure out if we need to get the successor or not? Because that seems like a decision that you need to spend some time researching and figuring out, and what are the hot organizations? And then is Pete Petilla involved in that? Like, is he still in the plans? What, you know, are you looking at, you know, last year it was the Rangers were the kind of the hot organization. And then, you know, historically the Giants have always looked at the Dodgers as the organization to try and pair it. So there's lots of things that they have to look for and strategize for. But I wonder if this means that they're going to start looking sooner than later if there's only 1 year left guaranteed on both of these guys' deals.
Yeah, that's kind of tricky too, because you're going into an offseason with Juan Soto out there, Pete Alonso, Willy Adames. I mean, it's a big offseason. Do the Giants brass want their guys spending all this money when they may not be there? I mean, you're talking about marquee players too. We're not talking about, you know, has-beens or guys who are on their way out, or, you know, just we're not talking about trading for Evan Longoria here. But we're talking about, you know, we're talking about marquee players. So if you can get those guys, you're probably going to win a lot of ball games. Yeah, it's kind of tricky. And I think we kind of thought too, I mean, we're talking midway through the season, is this Farhan's last season? Mm-hmm. But then we've heard, no, he's going to be fine. They're going to retain him. So it's absolutely not out of the question that Farhan and Bob Melvin are gone after next season if things don't turn around. But does that make it more likely they go hard after the free agents that are out there? Because all of a sudden now they're thinking, well, it's not my money. But they have to get the okay to spend that money. So it's going to be a little bit tricky. I try, as a fan, I try not to worry myself with that stuff, because what happens on the field is going to dictate all of that. If you don't win, if you put a team out there and you don't win, and again, winning standards of the ownership are different than winning standards of the fans. That's always going to be the case. Winning standards of the ownership is going to be, did we break even or make a little bit of money, or did we not lose too much? That's kind of a win, especially in the Giants ownership. So when you're looking at a fan's perspective, our perspective is above 500 in the playoffs. That's a winning season. But for ownership, it's been winning seasons. So right around 500, people have come back to the ballpark this season, right? I came back to the ballpark first time in a long time. So
I still have not seen a win live this year.
Oh, you got a few games left, right?
And my car got stolen all in the same.
If this tells you anything about the 2024 season, it was that night right there. But we bounced back. Yeah. We bounced back and we went to the game the next day. Went up to the booth, met John Miller.
Yes.
Met Dave Fleming.
Dave Fleming.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was that made that whole experience a lot better for sure. Yeah. We have a question for you.
Yes.
What is Billy Beane, the Oakland A's former general manager, baseball ops guy? What is he doing right now? Do you know?
I thought he was in Major League Baseball's front office doing something alongside good old what's his name from the Cubbies.
Former Red Sox guy. I forget his name.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did not know myself. Mm-hmm. And I was actually looking it up, and it sounds like he is still with the A's as a senior advisor to the owner.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that made me wonder, with all the craziness that is going on with Oakland A's baseball right now, the soon to be Sacramento, or I mean, it doesn't look like they're going to Vegas, does it?
I mean, it's still up in the air. We hear about it a lot here in Nevada.
What would it take to get Billy Beane out of being in an advisor role, do you think? Now, he is in his early 60s now. He's not the young, dynamic Moneyball guy. Yeah. But I was just kind of wondering, what if Billy Beane's like, you know what? I kind of want to still stay in the Bay Area.
I mean, that'd be cool. I'd be up for it. And he has a relationship with Bob Melvin, so there's that. I don't know. Like you said, he's 62. I don't think that's that. I mean, that's only 11 years older than me, for crying out loud. That's not that old in the baseball world. I think 62, you come out, you're head of baseball ops. You're not at the ballpark every night. You're not, you know, involved in the day-to-day operations of the, you know, from the minors down. You have people that do all of that stuff. I don't, honestly, the right situation, the right contract, I think he'd be all for it. If they said after next season, hey, you know what, Farhan, you're gone, we're plugging in Billy Beane. But again, that was revolutionary analytics. I guess the question would be, has he grown it since then?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's kind of, it's a different game now. There's such a mix. There's way more analytics. There's way more stat cast and everything else that goes along with all of this. Is he up on that? So I guess that would be the key.
So it looks like Susan Slusser from the Chronicle did an interview with him about a month ago. And so I found that, but not that I can find any insight into whether he is interested in changing, you know, some of the things that he's doing. But I just thought that's the name that hit me, is like, what would it take for the Giants to just immediately switch up the Farhan plan and go with something, you know, kind of bigger? And Billy Beane's the name that came to mind, but Billy Beane might also be a little bit more old school than, you know, than the current generation of people that he influenced. Haruka's bringing up Brian Sabian. If Brian Sabian was to come back to the Giants and run the team, oh man, talk about old school. That dude is old school.
Yeah, that would be, I don't know. I think, you know, he's with the Yankees. He's doing his thing over there. Again, I think with these older guys, not trying to ageism anything here, but I think with these older guys, I think the game is different now. It's not a feel. It's not a like, hey, I feel that if I trade Matt Williams here to the Indians and then get these guys back, that's going to be better for us in the long run. Mm-hmm. There was no analytics that said that was a great idea. I wouldn't think. I mean, if you looked at analytics now, you'd say Matt Williams is going to be worth the money that you continue to pay him, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just, you know, I'm looking at that type of stuff and I'm thinking, I don't know if it flies nowadays.
Well, the way that Bob Melvin was talking in that interview, it sounds like he would kind of embrace a Brian Sabian model.
Hey, yeah.
Brian, I'm not someone to say that Brian Sabian could not do it. Like, the dude was successful, right? Three World Series. So I would be interested if the Giants would go backwards like that.
I think Boach, man. If you're gonna bring back Sabian, bring back Boach.
It's too late for that. That ship has passed. Because here's the deal. Even if Bochy retired next season and then 2 years went by and he came back, you know how old he would be.
Yeah.
And then have him come back and, you know, back to the Giants organization. I think he's tired, man. I think he's tired. He did a great job last year, but he had a fantastic roster. I mean, you know, that was a great roster to win with. I think going back to the Bob Melvin thing real quick too, you kind of touched on something. I know he had a lot of regrets in that interview, and he talked a lot about, going to San Diego where they didn't do analytics. Mm-hmm. It was just like, hey, we're just going to go in here and we're going to go crazy. And then to go to the Giants and you got that mix. So you go heavy analytics in Oakland, no analytics in San Diego, come back and now you got a mix. It's taken a year for him, I think, to kind of get used to it. I think going into next season, he's going to do a lot of study in this offseason, a lot more, you know, ideas of what it is he wants to do. I think next year is going to be a really good year for him. That's why I gave him a B+2. I wanted to jumpstart him a little bit.
All right, let's talk about your lineup ideas for next year.
Right.
Go for it.
So my wife is texting me. She wants me to record the debate, Garrett.
When does it start?
I think it starts at 6.
Okay, so we might be going heads up with the debate.
I know. I think we win that though. Here. I'm gonna make her happy. I'm gonna press on that. We're doing the Hulu, so you and I have Hulu Live, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Just do it from your computer.
Yeah, yeah. So here we go. Boom, save. I think it's recording. No idea. I guess we'll find out. All right. Anyways, back to the important stuff. The lineup. My 2025 lineup for next season. This is an exciting lineup. It gives you power. It gives you speed. It gives you defense. It gives you good defense, very good defense. It's some positions and you're not sure about, but it gives you a very solid defense. I'd say 7 out of the 9 positions. So leading off, we're going to see Grant McCray come back. He's going to lead off and play center field. And we talked about that last week. And the reason I want him to play center field is because he glides. He plays it super easy. Grew up in the organization, grew up as a center fielder, has played this ballpark very, very well. Moving to right field and batting second, Jung-Hoo Lee. He's going to play right field for us because Yaz is a fantastic right fielder, mm-hmm. but I think Jung-Hoo Lee can make right field his own, and I think he could actually be the best right field defender we've ever had at SBC, AT&T, Oracle, whatever you want to call it, all of those ballparks. Batting third, the big ticket. And again, this is my wishful 2025 lineup. Batting third, Juan Soto. And we're going to stick him. We got to stick him in left field. We can't have him play right field at Oracle Park. There's no possible way. So batting third, Juan Soto in left field. So we're going left, left, left. Right? Three lefties to start us off. Now we're getting right heavy. We're going to go Willy Adames batting fourth at shortstop. We're going to keep him at shortstop. Right-hander. Batting fifth, we're going to go out and we're also going to get another first baseman. I love you, Lamont Wade Jr., but we've got to let you go. It's not Pete Alonso because I'm trying to keep it somewhat in a reasonable salary cap thing. That's why we went Juan Soto, Willy Adames. We're going to go Christian Walker at first base. We're going to steal him from Arizona.
I like it.
He's a free agent. Big, powerful. He's got some injury issues, but hey, We have a lot of injury issues at first base. We've seen it before, but Christian Walker can hit you 30 home runs. So you got Juan Soto who can hit you 40 or 50. Willy Adames who can hit you 30. Christian Walker who can hit you 30, and he's going to play first base, also a right-hander. Batting sixth, Matt Chapman at third base, another right-hander. Solid, going to get you 20 to 25 home runs. We already talked about him this podcast. We know what he can do defensively. Batting seventh, here's the twist, Elliot Ramos at DH.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah. We're going to keep him in the lineup. He wins the DH job. Serviceable outfielder. He can play outfield. We need him on the roster, and he's going to be in the lineup batting seventh. And the reason seventh is because when you get Juan Soto, Willy Adames, Matt Chapman, and Christian Walker, you got to bat Elliot Ramos. I mean, you can flip Ramos and Chapman, whatever you want to do. You can go Ramos sixth, Chapman seventh, but, you know, give the veteran his sixth spot in the lineup. Batting eighth, switch hitter, Patrick Bailey at catcher. And then batting ninth at second base, he's going to work on it in the offseason. Another right-hander, Tyler Fitzgerald, so we can go. You know, you got the young guys, right? You got Grant McRae, you got Ramos, you got Bailey, you got Fitzgerald. So four guys in the lineup who you don't have to pay big money to yet. That allows you to go out and get Soto, Adames, and Walker, and also pay Chapman. So that is my most wishful starting lineup for 2025. I like Fitzgerald ninth because I love that, you know, with the DH, I loved constructing lineups when I was a kid in the American League DH because you put a speed guy at nine, speed guy at one, and then that way you could have a couple guys on bases who could scoot around. So this way, if Fitzgerald gets on, then you've got Grant McRae, you've got Jung-Hoo Lee, and then you got Juan Soto to hit a grand slam to drive them all in.
I mean, you really had me at Juan Soto. So if you could have said Juan Soto in left field,
yeah,
Bob Uecker behind the plate, I'd have been like, I'm in, because we got Juan
Soto. I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. Shortstop, Willie Wilson. Whoever can
Roger,
play
Roger Dorn at third base.
Roger Dorn at third. There I'm you in. Go. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Hey, if they could get one of those guys you're talking about,
yeah.
I think it's a positive. And the Adames thing is probably going to gain some steam. With Milwaukee playing as good a baseball as they are. I don't know if that helps that scenario, hurts that scenario, but I think they got Chapman and now they can work on other pieces, and you don't have to worry about third. You're like, we got third. Now let's work on shortstop, or let's work on right field, or whatever. But all right. Last thing here before the player of the week will be quick. You, kind of texted me that there was a tiff between Tyler Fitzgerald and Marco Luciano on a pop-up, right. And I didn't watch the game, so I only saw the clips and I saw the arguments in the dugout, and I was kind of wondering, like, it kind of seems kind of weird because they won the game, so what is everyone all frustrated about? But it was because they were kind of imploding at the moment, and I watched the play. And it was a clear pop-up to Marco Luciano. Like, he didn't even really have to move that much. Right. And Tyler Fitzgerald came all the way over from shortstop and decided to go after the ball. Now, both players had their thoughts on what happened. And Bob Melvin had his thoughts on what happened. And my thought might not be exactly the same as everybody else's. I played middle infield in my baseball career. So I kind of think, you know, I've been in situations like that with shortstop and second baseman kind of colliding. I thought that was Tyler Fitzgerald's fault the entire way, because his comment was that Luciano did not call the ball, or he was not loud in calling the ball. Now, in most cases, if you're both kind of going out in the same direction and you're both kind of the similar distance away from the baseball, yeah, you got to be vocal because you don't want to collide into each other when you're running and you're looking at the ball and you're not looking at each other. But the fact that Fitzgerald had to come over so far to get that ball, and you understand the distance when you're a middle infielder or when you're in any position, like you were an outfielder when you were younger, you knew without even having to see any sort of diagram of the outfield, you knew when the ball was probably yours and the ball was probably the right fielder's. You just knew based on your understanding and awareness of distance. I don't know what Fitzgerald was doing. I assume he was thinking that Luciano was having trouble. That's what I assume. It is a little bit of like a glory hog kind of moment for him. He's the rookie dandy. He's the shortstop. Shortstop is the one who calls the shots, has all the control. I don't know if a coach told him, hey, Luciano's having problems with the sun. You're going to have to go over there and be there just in case. I was completely sympathetic with Luciano there, just going like,
oh, yeah,
dude, what the F? Like, the ball was clearly my ball. I shouldn't have to call that ball. It was so much my ball. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think two thoughts on that one. One, I get it that Fitzgerald was thinking, hey, I got it. We got to get this out. And I'm not hearing him. It's hard also in San Diego with the sun and the way the sky is there to look quickly to your right and see, does he have it? Because you don't want to take your eye off that ball. So if he's not hearing anything, I see him kind of in, you know, impeding on his space a little bit. Again, totally Fitzgerald's fault, 100%. And he admitted to it as well. So that's one. And then two, like you said, I think Fitzgerald had a little bit of a brain fart. Thought for a second he was playing shortstop and he was like, I'm taking this ball, and then realized I'm playing second base. It's too late for me to back off of this one now. You know, it wasn't handled correctly. Again, you do it after the game. Don't worry about it right there. It's not that big of a deal. Some frustration with some at bats earlier or something like that. But yeah, that was a tough one, but hey, growing pains. And then Matt, and then the Marine jumped in, Matt Williams, and slapped them both on the chest. And not lightly, nice, and gave him the old, we got this, you guys are good, let's go.
Yeah, that is not the guy I want to make mad.
No.
I don't want to be on Matt Williams's bad side in any way whatsoever.
Not the Carson Crusher, man.
We got to see him when we got to go on the field. And we're like,
yeah, he's...
that dude is as impressive as when he was 25 years old. Just the way.
Oh, yeah. And he looked like it. I mean, if you would have said the wrong thing to him, he would have come at you like a 25.
He kind of did side-eye us just for being out there, thought. I mean, he was like, who are these people? Why are they here when we're doing our jobs? Like,
yeah, who's the? They're like, who's the idiot with the bright orange polo shirt on? Hey, look at that. And I was, I wore my loudest shirt that day, and I'm not sure why. A hot day and it was comfortable. So.
All right. Last thing before we get out of here, and I guess you would go watch the debate with your wife. I think that's the plan.
I don't plan to do it. I've got a stove to fix. So I'm going to work on that while she's watching the debate.
There you go. Player of the week.
Yeah. Player of the week. We're going with the guy we've been talking about all day, Matt Chapman. And we're going with him, not just because of the contract, but he hit 375 during the week between our last podcast and this one. He hit 375 with a home run, two stolen bases, a 180 WRC plus. And again, per usual, the absolute solid defense. I was leaning towards Ryan Walker because he's kind of the silent, the silent guy just going out there, not giving up any more runs again in three outings and then getting two more saves. But I got to go with Matt Chapman. And a little nugget in there too. Bob Melvin did say there's a very good chance that Camilo Duvall could win back the closer role in the offseason.
That was pretty interesting.
So
because Chapman is pitching so well, I thought,
Walker,
I mean, yeah, sorry, Walker. I thought the the note was going to be more like, you know, Walker's awesome right now, and you know, Chapman will have to, you know, he'll have to get back in there and pitch very well in order to get a spot back. He's like, nope, it's back. It's open for debate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like,
oh, yeah, he just threw it out there. He said, oh, yeah. But that's good because you want those guys to fight for it.
Yeah.
So you know what? Who wants it? Who wants it most? That's the thing. If you just hand somebody a job, then who's to say they're going to do it the best they can? So fight for it.
All righty. That is it from here. We will be back next week. I think we're going to be back in our normal time slot. By the way, how many Monday night games do the Rams have? I don't even know how many Monday night games the Niners have, because that's when we move this show to Tuesdays.
Yeah, let's see. Got, I don't think we have any until, oh, we got the Dolphins. That'll be a fun one in Miami on November 11th. So got that one. I think that's it. Yep, that is it for the season. We have some Sunday nighters and some Thursday nights. So
the Niners only have one more for the season, I believe, and that's right at the end of the year. And at that point, okay, a lot of those games get moved out anyways because but yeah, I don't think the Niners have any until the end. So they had the first one and the last one of the year scheduled.
Okay.
Yeah. All righty. We'll be back next week. Shout out to Haruku for being in the chat and throwing us tons of stuff. He got in several fart hons, by the way.
I like that.
Several of them.
Might as well. Get him in while you can.
And he capitalized the first four letters of analytics. That was another winner.
Excellent. Hey, got to do what you got to do.
All right. For Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.